Hello, North Point. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's nice that we're able to connect in this unique and new way. So thankful for technology that allows us to connect in this way. And whether you're watching on your computer, on your TV, or your device, we invite you to be a part of today in a unique way. It's times like this that no matter how we're feeling, no matter what emotions are going through us right now, that we get a chance to come together. It's times like this to remind us that church is not an event on Sunday morning, and it's certainly not a building. Church is a people who come together being real. Today is not a day to be perfect. Today is not a day to wonder what God has in fear or anxiety, but today is a day to come together as ordinary people to explore what it means to chase an extraordinary God. Today we have an opportunity to connect through technology. And we want to invite you to share this video, share on social media, share with your friends, because this is a time that we can come together and explore what it means to be with God. So today we're going to have a time of worship. We invite you to come into God's presence, because today we have the worship team. We're so thankful they're a part with us today. Today is not a performance. It's not a production. So we invite you to worship with us. We invite you to enter into God's presence in a way that makes it real and to bring everything that's on your heart into that worship experience. It doesn't matter if you're singing off key, doesn't matter if you're singing loud in your pajamas. The most important thing is that we're entering into God's presence. In just a moment, we're going to enter into a time of prayer. The president has called today to be a national day of prayer. And this is a great opportunity for us to ask God to come into this place, to come into this moment, to change us, to draw us closer to Him. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that in this moment, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what's in our heart, God, that we can come to You. God, that we can come to You and be real. We can come to You with everything that we are, and we can seek You. So God, that's what we do this morning. God, help us to worship You right where we are. God, we come together as a people needing You. And so God, we worship You. Be with us this morning as we open Your word. Be with us today as we explore what You have to say for us today. God, we love You. And we want this time to be everything You want it to be. Be with us as we worship You. In Your name, amen.
See you. Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for joining us, many of you from the comfort of your own home. If you've been with us before on a Sunday morning, you'll know this is the part of our worship service where we continue worshiping our great God, our provider, Jehovah Jireh, through the giving of our tithes and offerings. And today is no different. Though the method of giving for you may have to be different. You know, any given Sunday, we have about half of you who choose to use our technologies to give your tithes and offerings. And then there's the other half of you who faithfully give using our offering baskets and some of those paper methods. And you know, this is a time where if we were acting out of fear as a church, we would have been compelled to keep services. But because we're called to act out of love, we've chosen to protect your family and our congregation by not holding services here in our building today. And so what that signals is that we rely on God to be our provider. God is the one who provides all the gifts to North Point Church and to any of our community churches. And it's God who compels the heart of the giver. And so we rely on God and not on man, and so we don't operate in fear today. But I want you to have an opportunity to fully worship your great God in the ways that you normally do. So can I encourage you, if you're already using our technologies, perhaps consider a recurring gift. These help us so much in our long-term planning. If you're not using our technologies, let me ask you today to download the MyNPC app. MyNPC, all one word, on your App Store or your Google Play Store, and there's a quick and easy giving link there. Beyond that, many of you have used our text to give from time to time, whether it be to support Pastor Lucian in the Dominican Republic, to buy beds for our Calibri Children's Home, to buy water for the hurricane victims in the Panhandle. Many of you have texted any amount to 84321. And let me remind you that by texting any amount to 84321, you will effectively give online to North Point Church. Can I encourage you to set that up today or to give on the app for the first time? Because the ministry will not stop. We're going to continue to provide great content to you midweek. Stay tuned on our social media, our email. We will be in touch with you. But let us now receive this offering from our great God, who is our provider, our Jehovah Jireh. And let's pray over this offering. Heavenly and gracious Father, I am so grateful that it is to you that we look when it comes to providing. We know that provision doesn't come from man, but Father, we know that you've asked man to partner together with you in the great work that you continue in this community and around the world in your churches. And so, Father, I pray that you would compel the hearts of those who are normally faithful givers here in this space, in this sanctuary, Lord, who are choosing today to make their home their sanctuary, that they would have availability to give. I'm so grateful for the technology that you've made available, and I'm so grateful for those who you're going to compel to continue to support the ministry, because this little bump in the road, Father, doesn't surprise you, and you will never ask us to stop with the Great Commission, spreading the love of Jesus Christ in this community and being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are in need. And so show us special ways during this time that we can continue to do ministry in creative and innovative fashions. Father, grow us and teach us, because we want to be even more effective for you in this community. Bless the giver, bless the gift, and the recipient being your church, Father, that we would make you famous in this community and it would be to your glory and nothing else. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey there, Justin here, and I wanted to show you one of the easiest ways for you to give to your church. All you gotta do, send a text message. Here, I'll show you how I set it up. All I need to do is text an amount to 84321, and a link will be sent back to me. I'll tap on that link, select my church, add an email address for the receipt, enter in my payment information, and that's it. From now on, when I want to give, I just grab my phone and text an amount. All right, let's donate $10 now. And that's it. Oh, I added an extra zero. Yeah, I'm gonna need to fix that. Luckily I can. Since it's been less than 30 minutes, I just send the word refund and that last donation will be refunded. Whew. I'm gonna try it again. And there we go. And that, my friends, is how you can give with a text message. Happy giving.
Our days are filled with them. Our life is defined by them, and history is told through them. Now, these moments, they're all around us, right? I mean, there are moments that just kind of pass the time, and then there's those moments that are the very best parts of our day. I mean, some moments we create, and then there are these other moments that completely catch us off guard. But what if you knew that there was a moment coming your way where God would meet you in a way that after that moment, nothing would ever be the same?
Well, good morning. Here we go. We are stepping out into a new normal for a little while right now, walking into a different season. It's a weird season, and we must admit, as we're in a series right now called Defining Moments, and the caption to this message series is called Moments That Can Change Your Life. And defining moments, those moments in time where they're good and bad moments. We have things that will enter... mess up our lives in a big way, and some things will excite our lives in other ways, but one thing's for sure, defining moments are life-altering moments. They are game-changing moments, and no doubt this coronavirus that we're dealing with right now is a game-changing, life-altering thing that's going on inside our life. And defining moments are things that happen to us. But what makes a defining moment different from just an average moment in our lives is how we respond and our choices and decisions that we make inside those moments. Those choices and decisions, whether we choose to react in fear or respond in faith. We can choose to pray or we can choose to panic. We can choose to be courageous or we can choose for self-preservation and for comfort and for safety. And I'm realizing that as I prepared this message for today, that I'm talking really to two different audiences. There's an audience of people right now watching that are feeling like what we're doing is a wise thing. But there's also an audience and school of thought of people who think that this is an overreaction and this is ridiculous. We have some that believe and are fearful and think this is scary, while others think that the precautions that we're taking right now are silly. We have those that believe that we're doing too much, and we have those who believe that we're not doing enough. You know, living in the state of Florida, we always have the fear of hurricanes, and the news and the media tell us to get ready, and some of us watch our neighbors boarding up their homes, and we just think to ourselves, I'm not going to do that because there's no way the storm's coming to us, because we've seen so many times where we've gotten an opportunity and a hall pass, so to speak, from disaster in our area. And so it's easy to get duped. And we don't really know what the outcome would be. But we come with it with two schools of thought. And for parents, you have two schools of thought. For some, you're thinking, wow, the kids are home from school. And other parents are thinking, oh, no, the kids are home from school. It has an ability to really impact our lives in a powerful and hard way. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what our school of thought is, whether you think this is ridiculous or you think this is required. The truth of the matter is, like it or not, we can all agree on three things. That this virus has gone global, number one. Number two, that what's happening right now is our reality. This is exactly what's happening. The world is coming to a standstill to such a degree. And number three, we can agree that these precautions are either going to be highly effective or they won't be. We just don't know. But regardless of what you think about the precautions, I think we all can agree and come around the idea of the impressive nature of this pandemic. Think about this just for a moment. That this disease, this virus rather, in just a matter of weeks, has circumvented the globe. It's hard to believe, isn't it? How impressive it is to watch it spread. It originated in China and then spreading through human contact, one person to another. In a short time, the virus has impacted every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And while we think about that, I want you to capture another wonder, that the gospel of Jesus Christ spread in the very same way. And in fact, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still spreading. But instead of a pandemic virus, it is a pandemic love that spreads. It started in the Middle East, and it has now reached the entire globe. One man, Jesus Christ, spreading his message of hope and healing and forgiveness and love and freedom through the lives of 12 men, with one by one human encounter, the gospel message has made it across the globe and to us today. And it is still transforming and changing lives. So what if today, because of some coronavirus, because of the way the world is slowing down, what if today caused you to slow down just enough that a friend would send you a link to watch a message online? And as you watch this message online, you would learn about a Savior. You would learn about hope and healing. You would learn about forgiveness and freedom found through Jesus Christ. And what if that captured your attention to the degree that you would make a decision to give him your life? Surrendering your life to God, because when you do, I believe that it will radically change your life. You will live with fewer regrets, you will make wiser decisions, and you will live free from the guilt and shame and the regrets of the sins of your past. And you will have a guide to direct you in your future. You will have a hope and a peace in troubled times that comes through Jesus Christ. What if today, because the world is slowing down, you decided to stop scrolling and watched a sermon that would introduce you to a Savior that would radically change your life? I pray that you will. And church family, our church has been called to be salt and light right now. This is God's word. It's been telling us for this for a long time, and we know that as a church body, that we're in our community for the community for the purpose of showing Christ's love. And sometimes showing our love and concern for our neighbors means not gathering together for a short time in a traditional fashion. But hear me clearly, that the prudence and care and precautions that we're taking are not signs of panic or fear, but rather they're signs of love for our neighbors and sharing with and bearing with the burdens of our community. The great A.W. Tozer says that a scared world needs a fearless church. So we must not panic. We must be confident, but we must be wise. As Christians, we're called to live aware and live active in our community, but not in fear. So think about this. When you look at a difficult situation, it's good to say, what does this situation allow us to do that we could have never done before? And as Christians, being salt and light, that means that as a body of believers, we need to respond in faith and not react in fear. That as we, and it's obvious that we should choose worship over worry, that we should choose faith over fear, and prayer over panic, and selflessness over selfishness. And over the next few weeks, churches all around the world will have to meet in a different way, contrary to a traditional ways. If we're not allowed to meet or shouldn't meet for the safety of others around us, we must be creative. But the gospel message and the church is moving back into homes, going back to the method in which the gospel message originated, and by the way, was the most effective. But now, with technology, this time when the church goes back into the home, we have a greater reach than we've ever had before. Because the modern church can broadcast the gospel online. We're no longer bound by geography. We're no longer limited by types of the teachers that aren't qualified yet in the homes. We can get these messages with high theological accuracy and doctrinal truths into the homes by using technology. And I believe in many ways that what's happening in our world is preparatory. And what I mean by that is that I believe God is preparing his church for what is to come. Because God's word is teaching us that there a time will come when the gospel will be less popular, but the gospel will become more dangerous. It'll become less and less safe for us to meet and to gather. And so just like he's done all through the life of North Point Church, as God kind of prepares and reveals to us something in advance to prepare us for something in the future, I don't think it's a coincidence that God led us this year to broadcast our Christmas Eve service, because we learned a lot of things in a preparatory fashion to be able to weather this storm that we're experiencing today. But just like that, and just like what God has done in preparing us for the future, God is preparing us for a time when the gospel will be less popular and more dangerous. And during those times, the church is going to be required, the church, capital C, the big church, is going to be required to be more diligent and more creative in the face of those uncertain and persecution and crisis times. But I believe that these crises will spark an unprecedented creativity within the local body, and it will accelerate the church's reach and our influence and our message into the world. So here at North Point, the lessons and the methods that we've learned at Christmas Eve and the lessons and the methods that we'll learn even this week and in the weeks to come will prepare us to become even more effective ministers of the gospel in the years to come. And so instead of kicking against it and instead of feeling like this isn't normal, let's see what we can learn together and how we can be the church. Because the church, capital C, North Point Church specifically, we have a responsibility to be creative. But individually, you are the church body. And so you must also be creative to find ways to further your reach and your influence for the gospel message during these times. And one of these innovative and creative ways will come, I believe, in the area of kingdom-minded partnerships with our area churches in the days to come in the future. I believe that there's a preparatory motion. In fact, in already this week, we've already seen this take place. Because yesterday on this very stage, in case you didn't know this, it's pretty cool. It's exciting that God would allow us the opportunity to do this. Yesterday on this very stage, one of our sister churches in our area called Bay Chapel, who meets at Wharton High School, we invited them to come on our stage yesterday and film their church service on our stage so it can be broadcast today to their congregation. In addition to that, they'll be back for the next 2 weeks because they're not going to be able to meet, so they're going to continue to come for the next 2 weeks to film their services here. In addition to that, Grow Life Church, right around the corner from us, will be meeting here to film their services as well. And then we have a brand new church plant at Wiregrass Elementary called Favor Church that we're inviting to do the same thing. God has given us a facility, and he's also given us a history to understand and have compassion on our sisters and brothers who are leading in these churches inside high schools. And so we want to be faithful to help them in this difficult time because they were told late Friday night that they were not going to be able to meet. And in the time of panic, God laid on our hearts the opportunity to make it available to them. Kingdom partnerships, an innovative, creative way to be kingdom-minded, to share our facility, to reach the community. This is the type of thing that I believe that God would honor and love to see happen in all of our churches. And I believe even more collaborations like these are going to happen in the future. And I think it's those type of collaborations that are going to be the catalyst for revival in our communities. And why do I believe that? Because God has placed this community, not just on my heart, not just on North Point's staff's heart, but he's placed this community on the hearts of many great pastors in our community. We all carry the same burden that they would come to reach and come to know a faith in Jesus Christ. We have the common burden, and we have the common goal. So coming together really makes perfect sense. Each church is burdened to tell our neighbors about God's love, his forgiveness of sin, and the peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of a pandemic. But finally, our faith is not based in some wish or some guess or some childish hope or some fable or fairy tale. It is based, and the reason that we don't have to panic as a church in these times is that we have a hope that is built on the simple fact that the Lord of heaven's armies, the creator of the universe, is here among us, walking with us, and going with us through uncertain times. That we can face uncertainty with the certainty that we're not alone. And it's that hope, and it's that peace, and it's that confidence that you have inside your heart that you have a responsibility to share with anyone that you come in contact with. And while we are practicing social distancing, may we not practice spiritual distancing. May we not find ourselves isolating ourselves from the opportunities that God is placing us before to be a salt and light, to be a bright light in a community, to be a voice of peace in a time of panic, to be a voice of worship and praise in a time of fear. And it's based upon a scripture that King David wrote to us, and I love his words when he says this in Psalms 46. And I want to read to you just a passage of scripture about this confident hope that David had. And while we're not experiencing exactly the same thing that David was experiencing, we certainly can insert the context of our lives today and the context of the future world that God's word tells us we're going to experience into this passage. And so read with me Psalms 46, starting in verse 11. And it says this, O God, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea, or tornadoes or wars or tsunamis or viruses, right? Let the oceans roar and foam, and let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. We're not going to fear. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. And God dwells in that city, and it cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Praise God for his protection for us. The nations are in chaos. We can see that today. And their kingdoms are crumbling. We can see this happening. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Church family, listen to that and let it minister to your heart. That as much as right now what you're going through is a crisis, and for some, again, some of you don't think this is a big deal, and I get it, and that's fine. You're entitled to that opinion, and that's not the issue. But the issue is what God's word tells us is coming, is that we as believers are going to have to rise up in a time when the gospel will become less popular and more dangerous. I need you to be prepared for those moments, for those crises, to be able to rise up and to be creative and to make sure this gospel message is shared. Verse 8 says, come and see the glorious works of the Lord, and see how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. And he says this to all of us today. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Why? The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Do you believe that the Lord of heaven's armies is with you right now in your circumstance? Maybe right now this virus is not the biggest challenge in your life. Maybe right now the biggest challenge in your life is much more personal. Maybe it's much more tragic. Maybe it's harder than anyone would ever imagine. And maybe it's so private and so painful that you haven't even shared it yet with people that you love. But whatever it is, you need to know that the Lord of Heaven's armies is with you. And he's calling you and inviting you right now to be still and to trust that he is God and that he is fighting for you. And in the face of uncertainty, you can have certain confidence and hope that the Lord of Heaven's armies is with you. God is inviting you to be still and to trust. As a matter of fact, for us, he's forcing us to be still. We're home together. There's really no good place to go. And so in the stillness of those moments, we need to remember that God is with us in the middle of our storm. And it makes me think of a story that you know very well. It's a story in the New Testament when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples. And a terrible storm came up and Jesus was sleeping on the boat. And the disciples were panicking and freaking out, and they finally woke Jesus up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we're drowning?" They were in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a storm. And he stands up and he speaks to the water, "Peace be still," and the waters are calmed. Jesus did not have to say "peace be still" in order for them to be safe. The Lord of Heaven's armies was with those disciples on that boat. And he is with you in your circumstances as well. The same way that Jesus stilled the waters, I invite you to allow him to still those waters of fear that are swelling up in your heart. That God would still the waters of uncertainty that are captivating your attention. That God would still the waters of chaos that's happening in your life outside of this virus. Maybe you're watching this online today and you were invited to watch this from a friend, or maybe you stumbled on the broadcast just because you've got some downtime and you're searching the internet and this thing came up and so you decided to watch, and maybe you don't have this confident hope and you're listening going, "Man, it sounds good, but I don't have that." And the question that is in your head right now is, "How do I get that?" And so, my friend, today can be the day that you can experience that. And it starts by just saying a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer that asks Jesus Christ to become your forgiver and your leader by placing your trust in him. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is God's one and only Son. When I refer to the Lord of Heaven's armies, I'm referring to the fact that Jesus is God's one and only Son. He is God incarnate. He came to this earth as God to become a man for one purpose. Well, that was to take away your sins and to give you home eternal in the heavens. And so today, if you simply will pray a simple prayer that asks Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, surrender your life to him, believe that he is God's one and only Son, invite him into your life, and when you do, the Holy Spirit will take up residence inside of you and begin to transform your life from the inside out. It's life change. And then all you need to do is rely on the fact that God is with you because he lives inside of you. And you can have the confident hope that the Lord of Heaven's armies is with you in your circumstance. This is not some hope. This is a promise that is found in God's word, and it's available to you. Oh, I want you to know that. And so if you would pray that prayer in the privacy of your home and then find a Bible-believing church, come and visit us if you want to, or if you're not near us, go find a Bible-believing church and declare the decision that you've made so that you can be encircled by other believers who can disciple you and to help you grow in your relationship with God. You've made a very important first step. But there are some beautiful, amazing steps to come as God works out his life-changing transformation in your life. And for us now, the rest of us, we're in a time of waiting, aren't we? We wait in our homes and we wait to see what the government says. We watch news feeds to determine whether or not the virus is reaching into our communities, as some have already experienced, even in our own church. But this is a period of waiting. And God's word teaches us that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And so wait for the Lord. Because this is a period of waiting, not a period of worry. But as we wait, be still, and let's not make this waiting period a wasted period. So I want to challenge you today. As you have this kind of found time that your world may be giving you, maybe you work a job where you are going to be working at home, or maybe the pace is going to slow. Obviously, the kids for many of us are in the house. But I want to challenge you in this waiting period to not let it be a wasted period, and that you would focus on your family, and that you would focus on your relationship with God, and that you would focus on your mental and physical health. Just don't sit there and waste this time by binge watching Netflix or Disney Plus. Don't spend all this time eating all your coronavirus snacks. Go outside. It's safe out there. Go for a walk with your family. Go on a picnic. Use the telephone. What is that? It's the thing you don't use your thumbs for. Call someone, encourage someone. Contact an elderly friend or neighbor and ask them if you can help run some errands for them, because maybe they're too afraid with their frailty of age to be able to go outside. Talk to your neighbors. You can talk to them across the street with some social distance. But there's never been a better time to learn your neighbors' names. You should know the names of your neighbors living across the street and in your immediate vicinity. Make it a goal to do that. And lastly, use this crisis to spark creativity in your hearts and in your minds. Pray for and invite friends to watch this broadcast and invite them to church in the coming days as Easter will be approaching. I believe with everything in me, we'll be back together before Easter. I pray we'll be together for Palm Sunday. We have a huge service planned, a great vision, a great dramatic elements that are going to be showing you living scenes, moments of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, it'll happen on Palm Sunday. And so you want to make it a priority to be a church on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, because we really believe it's going to be very special. And as we conclude our service today, I just want to pray for you. And again, thank you for joining us and allowing us to come into your homes. And I pray that you've been encouraged by this message. And I pray that you've been challenged. But most importantly, church family, I pray that we would rise up to be creative, to be salt and light during this time. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the technology that you've provided for our church to allow us the ability to do this. And thank you, God, for allowing us to share this technology with our sister churches so that they, in turn, can have this same type of message to their church family. May you grow our church in its ability and in our reach to be able to have more kingdom partnerships with our sister churches. May you grow our individual members, Lord, in our church to take a burden and a responsibility of being kingdom-minded in their own lives and to share their faith with their neighbors and their family. Lord, I pray a very specific prayer for protection upon our families, that you would keep us healthy here in the North Point Church, that you would keep our community healthy, and that these precautions, Father, will net a positive benefit for all of our community. I pray, God, that you would bless this church in the meantime. Thank you for this staff. I thank you for this technology team and for this band who did not have to be here today, but they chose to come because of the importance of this message getting out to our church family. So thank you and bless them. Father, we love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one final parting note is that we assume this is probably going to be a couple weeks, but I want you to stay close to us via our North Point app and on social media. All of the links just on our website. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the typical social media areas, email, of course, as well, and text messages. So stay tuned. If we have some important breaking news, we'll make sure we share it to you. But until such time, this is our new normal. We love you guys. Have a great day. God bless you.
in the